Good morning and welcome. If you're visiting us this morning, I hope you find peace and friendship with us. And please join us for tea and coffee after the service, when there'll also be a light lunch for sale. We'll meet for prayers in the church on Tuesday and Thursday at 9:15, if you would like to come along and join us. If you can't attend, please hold in your prayers the folks in the community, and especially those in Woodside Walk. There's a fundraising meeting immediately after the service this morning, I think possibly in the transept here. The next Guild meeting is on Monday the 13th of January at 7:30. Bob DL, Archie Gilberts and Robbie Robb will entertain. The audit of the group books is on Thursday the 16th of January at 7 p.m. followed by a finance meeting. So if your girls' brigade, boys' brigade, whatever, if you could please bring your books along that night for audit. Board and session meet on Monday the 20th of January at 7 p.m. The Church of Scotland have a safeguarding training event at Rutherglen United Reformed Church on Wednesday the 22nd of January at 7 p.m. And if you're able to attend, could you please speak to Douglas Thompson? Hope Cafe's on Thursday the 23rd of January, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the Burns Supper will take place on Saturday the 25th of January. The tickets are now sold out, but any donations of raffle prizes would be much appreciated. The Guild Craft Nights on Monday the 27th of January at 7:30. And if you've been filling your wee Christmas sock, if you would like to bring the money along as soon as possible. The Upper Room Daily Reading Books are available in the vestibule at £2 each. And the flower list for 2020 is also available in the vestibule. And if you would like to donate flowers this year, in memory or for a happy occasion, if you could add your name to the, and contact details to the relevant date. Now, the list's only going to be there for another week, so if you want to put flowers in, if you could please fill your name in. If you know of anyone who's ill or in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, if you could let Anne Thompson or Margaret Patrick know. Jack Clark's funeral service will take place at South Lanarkshire Cream on Thursday the 16th of January at 12:30 p.m. And there's also the prayer list for those that do readings or prayers. The new list's now available and they're on the table in the vestibule as you leave. Stuart.
Good morning. It's always nice when you come up into the pulpit and you find something waiting for you. I believe I've got Isabel to thank for that. It says, hello, Minister Mitchell here. I thought I'd put in an appearance and help you with your stories. Liking the scarf. Excellent. You'll be back. Let's gather around the place where water and word shape a space that calls our names and recreates everything. Let's gather around the word that takes on skin and moves among us, beside us, a companion on our way. Let's gather and worship the one who created us and calls us here today. Let's join in singing our hymn. It's number 334 on Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry.
Thank you.
That's quite good. We've had a wee warm-up with the singing this morning because we usually do the birthdays at the very beginning, but Fiona wasn't in at the very beginning, and it was her birthday this week. Fiona was 30, she says. She wasn't. You're not supposed to tell lies in the church. Fiona was 40 this week, and Sheila... No. Sheila was also 30. Let's just say between them that makes like about 100. So it's also Bill's birthday today, but we don't do birthdays that don't have round numbers at the end of them, but we're going to today because that'd be rude to leave him out. And I'm not going to tell you where he is in the scale of those birthdays. So Fiona, Sheila and Bill all have birthdays today, so let's wish them a happy birthday. Hope you've all sobered up. Allegedly. Let's join in prayer. In mystery, you speak the heavens into being over eons, and you stretch the stars ever onwards into the cosmos. In love, you spread out the abundance of the earth and all that grows upon it. You give breath to all the people of the earth and spirit to those who walk in it. Your divine image is woven into our frame. Your goodness and grace takes us by the hand, keeping our lives and calling our hearts, bringing sight and light and freedom to those who are blinded and bound and broken. This day and every day, we pray that you would guide us in your newness, into your life, into your grace, even as it springs around us. Despite your image within us and your spirit around us, sometimes we fail to recognize you. We push your presence away rather than being open to your descending dove and the splashing of your water of life. We complain. We moan. We complicate things. And we forget your desire for us. And we fail to hear your voice. And because we forget to proclaim your love. So we ask that you give us a shake, that you open us up to you and change our priorities, and that as a forgiven people, we might be washed in your water, hear the blessing in your voice, and know your beloved Son. Hear us, Lord, as we pray together, saying your words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to hear two stories from the Bible today, one from Isaiah and the other one from Matthew. So let's listen for the word of God.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah 42, reading from verse 1. Here is my servant whom I strengthen, the one I have chosen with whom I am pleased. I have filled him with my spirit, and he will bring justice to every nation. He will not shout or raise his voice or make loud speeches in the streets. He will not break off a bent reed nor put out a flickering lamp. He will bring justice to all. He will not lose hope or courage. He will establish justice on the earth. Distant lands eagerly wait for his teaching. God created the heavens and stretched them out. He fashioned the earth and all that lives there. He gave life and breath to all its people,
And now the Lord God says to his servant, I, the Lord, have called you and given you power to see that justice is done on earth. Through you I will make a covenant with all peoples. Through you I will bring light to the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind and set free those who sit in dark prisons. I alone am the Lord your God. No other God may share my glory. I will not let idols share my praise. The things I have predicted have now come true. Now I will tell you of new things, even before they begin to happen. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, the baptism of Jesus. At that time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to make him change his mind. I ought to be baptized by you, John said, and yet you have come to me. But Jesus answered him, Let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires. So John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Then heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting on him. Then a voice said from heaven, This is my own dear Son, with whom I am pleased. Amen.
Thanks, Joyce. Morning. Has anybody changed? Changed. And have you changed? I'm not going to become a Hamilton Accies supporter. I said changed, not mad. Changed? Has anybody changed? You've got less hair. Okay, can anybody imagine Bill with hair? I've never known Bill with hair. I look at myself. I imagine I've still got hair. Right, do you still imagine you've got hair? Or do you, aye. No, but do you know what I mean? You forget. So you look in the mirror and you go, who's that? Yeah? Who said that? You ever done that? No, that happens when you get older. Yeah. You look in the mirror and see your father or your mother. Yeah. We all change, don't we? We all change all the time, don't we? Yeah. Whether it's getting bigger or wider or greyer or balder or smaller. Okay, so you get bigger, then you get smaller again. Yeah, get that to look forward. Don't think so. Is that possible for some of you? We change all the time, don't we? Because we grow. Our hair grows and sometimes it just grows in different places. It does. At your nose and how did that happen? Our story today is about a change. So it's a kind of strange story, and it's a story that we all recognise, I think, because we do it in the church. What's this thing here under the candle? Do you know what that's called? No, underneath this big thing. What do we use it for? Baptism. Okay, so what do? We put water in it, don't we? And then we wet people's heads. Okay, and we do that because of the story that we read this morning, that Jesus went to his cousin John at the River Jordan and John baptized him. So instead of sprinkling some water, he dunked him in the water. He put him all the way under. But we'd need to build a big bath if we were going to do that, and then I'd get soaking and it's just too much hassle, so we just use a wee bit of water. Or we could down the Avon, we could go down to the Horsepool or something and dunk folk in, couldn't we? And the reason that we do that is, well, why do we do that? Why do you think we put people under the water and then bring them back up again? Why do you think we do that, Mara? It shows that they're Christian. So were they Christian before it? Do you think? So before it happens, can you be a Christian? Yeah, I think, well, probably, aren't you? But you're different, aren't you, when you come up, apart from being wet. You're different. So the idea is that you go down as your old person and you come back up as a new person. That you're changed. That's the idea of it. So even when we sprinkle water on it, it's a point at which you're changed. You become a Christian. We acknowledge, we say out loud, we show everybody that this person is a child of God, whatever age they are. That's what we do. And in that moment, they're changed. Even though they look exactly the same and they sound exactly the same, apart from being a bit wet, but they're different. They're different. Change happens to us all the time, doesn't it? Because we get bigger and older and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes we don't notice, but sometimes there are points where we decide to be different. So I'm going to set you a challenge today, right? And this is really hard, right? I'm going to, actually, you could all try this, because it's really difficult. Our other part of the story, the Isaiah bit, was about being a servant, right? So I want you to try and serve other people today and wait until someone serves you, right? So you don't do anything for yourself, right? But you all need to play along, okay? So you need to look after each other, okay? So you need to think, I wonder if my mum would like a cup of tea. And you need to think, I wonder if she would like a drink of juice. Right? But you're not allowed to ask for it. Right? We've got to pay attention to what each other might need. And then next week I'm going to ask you if that changed how you were. Except I'll not be here next week, but I'll ask Gillian to ask you, because she'll be here, okay? So I'm going to ask you to look after each other this week, but particularly today, see if you can do it even just for an hour or two and see what difference it makes. Okay? Okay? You're going to give that a shot? See how long you last? Be about 5 seconds. I'm really thirsty. Did I mention that? Okay. Magic. Right. We're going to sing two hymns because it's the same hymn to... Well, it's like two verses of the same hymn. It's 619 and 620. They're next to each other. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Let's say we've changed. What have we changed? Has anybody noticed what's changed this week? What's different from this week? The falls. Yep, these are different. So the purple ones are away, the blue ones are back. And that must mean that something's changed. It's the first Sunday of Epiphany. Advent and Christmas are officially over. You can take your tree down now if it's still up. Or you can wait till Candlemas on the 2nd of February if you really, really want. But most of you did that ages ago, didn't you? We're in a new season. Things have changed. It's different. It's the first Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany itself is the 6th of January, 12th night. And traditionally, that's the day that the church celebrates the visit of the wise men, the magi, to Jesus. And so the season begins with a realization that the child that the wise men discover in a house in Bethlehem is the king that they've been looking for. That's what Epiphany means. It means a moment of sudden or great realization or revelation. A moment of sudden and great realization or revelation. An epiphany. I've spoken before about how the church year provides us with different lenses to look at things through, to look at the stories that we read each week. And I really like Epiphany as a lens because it prompts us to think about, what is this? What does it tell us? What is that sudden or great realization or revelation that we're looking for? Because there always are these things in the story. So for the next few weeks in the season of Epiphany, we'll be looking for these Epiphany moments. These things where something about Jesus jumps out at us, something we've maybe never really understood in a particular way before or never noticed or that we see for the very first time. And I hope that's at least a mildly interesting or exciting prospect for you. It is for me. One of the things I really like about preparing for worship is that every week you discover something new. Every week you look at what we've got to come ahead and you think, what on earth is that about? And then you read and listen and talk to other people and reflect on the experiences that you've had and the things that you've read and the things you've seen and all of that stuff, and connections start to appear. And sometimes there are these often surprising little epiphanies. But sometimes that's a bit more difficult. Usually, like this week, when you're presented with a passage that we've all read before. The story of the baptism of Jesus comes up again and again and again. It comes up 3 times in the year. We read it very often. We've already read it in Lent, in Advent, sorry. This idea of John the Baptist baptizing people. We've read it before, just a few weeks ago. And we'll read it again later on in the year. And this same story appears every year on this Sunday. Every single year we read this story on this day. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have a version of it. John's gospel doesn't, but he still talks about John the Baptist. So whatever it is about what's going on here seems to be important. But what all 3 accounts have in common is they're really very tentative. They don't really give any meaning to the story. Even Matthew, who, as we'll find out over the coming year, can't resist telling us what things mean, doesn't really say very much about this story. And that makes me wonder, why are they so hesitant? Why do they only really give us the bare bones of the story? Because that means we've got lots of work to do to wonder about what's going on here. And we have to be more than a little careful in that exercise, not to see things that aren't there. So John the Baptist has been thundering away next to the Jordan at the edge of the wilderness about this Messiah that's going to come. This great leader that's going to come and change everything and make everything different and make everything better and restore all the things that used to be and all that kind of stuff. He's called the religious leaders a bunch of hypocrites and a brood of vipers to their face. And he's been baptizing people, he's been dunking them in the water so that they can say sorry for the wrong things that they've done and that they can start again. Jesus is John's cousin. He's just a few months younger than John. And obviously John's well aware of who Jesus is, and I don't mean that's Jesus. He knows who he is. He understands that he's the one. Because when Jesus appears on the banks of the Jordan, he points to him and says, it's him. He's the one we've been waiting for. Matthew tells it this way. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And John would have prevented him, saying, it's me that needs to be baptized by you, and you come to me. And Jesus answers him, let it be so for now. For it's proper for us to do this in this way to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, he came up out of the water, and suddenly the heavens opened to him, And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And that all seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? He goes, John says, "Are you kidding?" He says, "No, we have to do this," because John does it, comes up, dove comes down, and a voice from heaven. All completely normal stuff. Happens every Sunday, doesn't it? None of us would be surprised if that happened at all. Jesus comes to John, and John is surprised, and he tries to talk him out of it, but he does what he's asked and baptizes Jesus. And then there's that weird bit at the end about the sky and the voice and all that stuff, but we'll come back to that in a wee minute. Jesus came from Galilee. The last time we heard of Jesus in Matthew's gospel, he was in Nazareth, which isn't in Galilee. It's much further north. So Jesus has moved. Remember, Jesus had to run away when he was a little baby to Egypt, and they came back, but they couldn't stay in Bethlehem, so they went to Nazareth because it was a way out the road. And it really is a way out the road. It's one of these places, you know, it's the back end of nowhere. It's like Colburn. Aye. Maybe Douglas, actually. It's out the road. It's not near anywhere. It's not on the way to anywhere. It's just a place that's... It's one of those places that when you go there, you think, why is this here? You know how there's a reason for places to be in the place that they are? There isn't really a reason for Nazareth to exist. It's just there. It must be on the road to somewhere, but it's not particularly obvious when you get there. So he's moved. He's moved to Galilee. Galilee's much busier. Galilee's on the sea, and people transport things backwards and forwards across the lake, and they move up and down, going from Egypt all the way up to Lebanon. And so it's a kind of through place. It really is on the way to somewhere, and that's where Jesus is. And he goes from there, he follows the river that runs into the sea, and finds John on the edge of the wilderness. And asks John to baptize him. And John doesn't want to do it, because John knows who Jesus is. Remember, he's been standing there telling people about this guy that's going to come, someone whose sandals he wouldn't even be fit to untie. Someone who's much greater than him. Jesus, the one who's going to put everything right, the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for thousands of years. And now he's here, and he's asking John to baptize him. That's not what's supposed to happen. John's told everybody that Jesus is going to come in power and glory and sweep away the Romans and change everything, and it's all going to happen with a click of somebody's fingers. And when you think of Jesus, do you think of somebody that's law-abiding? Someone who follows the rules. I'm not sure that's a phrase that springs to mind when we think about Jesus. It doesn't quite ring true, does it? I mean, the rules are important for him, but sometimes he likes to bend the rules. Sometimes he likes to completely reinvent the rules. And he was forever getting into trouble because of the rules, because he healed people on the Sabbath, or he spoke to women that he wasn't supposed to, or he touched people who were unclean, or he ate with outsiders and welcomed strangers. And yet here he is at baptism following the rules right at the beginning. "I can't do this," says John. This is what needs to happen. What needs to happen, says Jesus. Just do it, and John does. But why? Why does it need to happen? This moment should raise at least a few questions for us. Questions like, if baptism's for the repentance of sins, does that mean that Jesus had sinned? It's a good question, isn't it? If that's what John's been saying, come and be baptized for the repentance of sins, does that mean that Jesus has sinned? Well, we don't know. It doesn't tell us anywhere. It's a good question. Jesus tells John that it has to happen to fulfill all righteousness. And that's one of those strange old-fashioned words that we keep coming up against, don't we? Righteousness. We don't use it in the same way anymore. Righteousness is an important word in the story because it opens the whole thing up. Righteousness means being in right relationship with others. Being in right relationship. It's at the heart of the Jewish law. Everything that happens revolves around this idea of righteousness, being in right relationship. It's what the Ten Commandments are all about. So if you don't steal or lie or cheat or kill, then you'll be in right relationship with your neighbour. Now obviously those are the minimum requirements. Yeah, and there's loads of other rules that help us to be in right relationship with each other. Lots of laws. Laws that Jesus comes back to again and again and again. Particularly one that says we should love one another. So not the minimum requirement, like the maximum requirement seems to be important to Jesus. Because righteousness is a way of living. It's the thing that Jesus came to show us how to do. That you can live properly. That you can live in right relationship with everyone. It's possible. And he says that's why his baptism needs to happen. Needs to happen. It needs to happen for Jesus to be completely at one with us. The other people that were baptized there by John that day were baptized as a sign of their willingness to turn their lives around, to be changed, to be different, to start again, to let God take control, to try and restore some of that righteousness. For Jesus, it's a sign of his willingness to go into the depths for our sake. There's a huge power dynamic at play here, isn't there? John spent ages telling Jesus, people that Jesus is greater than him. And yet, here is Jesus submitting to John, submitting to his ministry, valuing what he's already done. Not saying, oh, thanks very much, but I'll take over now. He values all that John has done and said, doesn't he? It's the ultimate validation. You were sent by God to be the messenger. Well done. Thank you. And if it's good enough for these people lined up on the bank, then it's good enough for me. Because that's what Jesus' mission is all about, isn't it? It's a sign of his readiness to carry all of our mistakes, all of our faults, all of our misdemeanors and imperfections, to wipe the slate clean for us so that we can begin again. And even here, when he's keeping the rules, he's breaking them by taking our guilt and our wrongdoing and making it all right. And when Jesus has been baptized, he comes up out of the water and suddenly the heavens open and he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. John's message was true. There will come one who will baptize not just with water but with the Holy Spirit. And here he is, standing before you. And that's John's epiphany. Here he is, standing before you. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Righteousness has been fulfilled. They've done the right thing, and God is pleased. Alice McKenzie suggests that this is a demonstration of Jesus' faith in action. Jesus knows who he is. He was the Messiah before he went into the water, and he was the Messiah when he came out of the water. This is for us, not for him. It's a revelation of his true identity, so that the people around him can know who he is. But it's also about Jesus living into his own role, his own commission. This is the start for Jesus. This is the point at which it all really begins. This is a moment of change. This is where he sets out on his journey. And it's such a public event, isn't it? There's no going back. Can't change his mind. Hugely symbolic, because baptism's about being born again. about accepting and confirming a new identity. The same is true for our baptism. Whether we were infants or adults, it's about recognising what we've always known, that we're all children of God, that God loves us all. Coming for baptism is our realisation of that and a demonstration that we're willing to live into that relationship, into righteousness, right relationship with God and with each other. Baptism's about our identity. It's about who we are. John wasn't presented with Jesus in the way that he thought he was going to be. His identity was different. He wasn't a warrior king. Instead, Jesus comes in humility as a servant, willing to submit to John, to validate the work of the messenger, to enter into our experience so that we can be part of his. In our baptism, we're joined into the mission of God. Even if, like John the Baptist, it's not really what we were expecting. And Jesus gives us a model for that mission right at the start of his humility and service and right relationship. And we are called to do likewise. At the end of Matthew's gospel, he tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. But it's for us to do. Jesus gives us a pattern of mission and ministry and asks us to claim that identity and to join in with the mission of God. Amen. Let's sing. Our hymn is number 600, Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind. Bring our offering to God. Surprising and sustaining God, send your Spirit upon the work of our hands and the hopes of our hearts, that these gifts and even our very lives might proclaim your peace and persistently share your love. Amen. We sing, "Take This Moment." One of the authors of that hymn, and many of the hymns that we sing, Graham Moll, one of the members of the Iona community and a collaborator with John Bell, sadly died last week. And so as we come to our prayers for others, we remember him and his friends and family too.
Let us pray. Loving God, we gather as your people this morning, seeking your presence, your comfort and your love. In this Epiphany season of light, shine your light upon us, into the recesses of our spirits, those places where we experience anxiety, depression, and despair. God of grace and healing, shine your light upon us, into those places of conflict and tension, in our families, in our friendships, in our work and community relationships. May your light be a healing balm, bringing with it forgiveness and reconciliation. God of connection, shine your light upon us, onto the common human ties that bind all of your people together. Neighbour and stranger, friend and enemy alike, in your light, remind us that you have created us, all of us, in your image, unique and beloved by you. God of power and mercy, shine your light upon our nation and its leaders, that they may govern justly and wisely, taking into account the needs and concerns, not just of the most wealthy and powerful, but especially those who are poor, those who struggle with physical and mental illness, those who fear for their families because of social and financial hardship, those who are forgotten and forsaken. God of compassion and peace, shine your light in all the places around the world where conflict and war are found, in Iraq and Iran, in the places we cannot name or do not know. With your light, bring peace to those who languish in fear, violence and despair. God of goodness, we thank you for the light that shines, the light that we see in the glory and wonder of your creation across the world. Thank you for the light that shines through this community and its members, young and old, who remind us of your presence in tears and laughter, teaching and learning, order and disruption, work and play. Shine your light upon us and around us and within us, that we too may be the light to the world. Amen.
Thanks, Agnes. So we bring our service to a close by singing once again our hymn is 555, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. May we find a place for love to belong in the world. May we make a welcome for the lost on the paths of our lives. May we create space that makes room for all those we meet this week. And may we find in each place God already waiting for us. We go with the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with us this day and forevermore.